Hello, and thank you for being with us this hour for America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad you could be along. You're with the U2 America TV network and Biz Talk Radio. Our guest for the hour, boy, an investigative journalist joins us to talk about the very agencies who are supposed to be protecting our children in America. He says they're doing the very opposite. Michael Volpe investigates court corruption. He says there is a huge lack of credentials of the people in the foster care system, those responsible for tearing apart families, and the rogue judicial system that permits this corruption. We talked to Megan Fox a couple weeks ago. We probably have never had any more response on our Twitter page than we have over this issue. So talking to another investigative journalist today about children, he says, being ripped away from their parents. Dr. Freda Birnbaum, did you hear about this? O.J. Simpson, he has a new Twitter account. Well, he never had one before, but he came out and announced that he is... he started a Twitter account and said he had some, he had to some people to get even with or something like that. And he's already been in a fight with some fake O.J. Simpson account. Dr. Birnbaum is going to talk about, is this really the best outlet for someone who has impulse control issues? And she'll also look at not diagnosing him or anything, but chatting about what triggers narcissists and sociopaths. So judge for yourself. Also, the lovely Amanda Head is with us. She is the host of America's Voice Live. And gosh, maybe she'll give us some lipstick tips because that is just amazing. She's ahead. We're going to talk about the political headlines of the day. And also, we've got some trending topics to share with you right now. The Jussie Smollett case not going away. In fact, he could be in more trouble. New evidence and video showing the Empire actor wearing a white rope around his neck as police responded to his reported hate crime from back in January. And now, of course, Chicago police say Smollett made up the whole thing. And they've released 70 hours of video related to the investigation. And one of, part of this show is him wearing the noose around his neck. He had said two MAGA hat wearing white guys jumped him, put a noose around him, beat him up. And then what you've got in this video is a colleague who calls himself Smollett's creative director. You'll see him greet police. You'll hear that man, says his name's Frank Gadsden, explain to cops that the guy that he's calling about is a TV star that was attacked, but that Smollett didn't want to make a police report because his pride got in the way. Here's a little more of the video.
If anything like this happened to me, I would want to report it. So I guess he's going out to go to Subway or something with his band or something.
Okay.
I work with him, so he is like a star. He works on the show Empire. So I think he doesn't want that to be a big deal. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay, so. But to me, it's kind of messed up. And the thing that bothers me about is it kind of makes... It makes me emotional. They put a makeshift loop, what'd you call the thing? A noose around his neck. Sorry, And that's what bothered me. The cut thing doesn't bother me at all. If that makes any sense.
Did you see this?
No, I didn't. He just came up to the apartment. He walked into, I guess he came in through the front door. I'm sitting there waiting.
Do you guys live together? Or
no, no. I'm just his creative director. I'm just visiting. He lives alone. But I just feel like he should report this, that's all. That make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. This is stupid. Come on in, sir.
Any weapons or anything inside the apartment?
No, I just don't want my neighbors to know.
Okay.
So I explained to them how you were going to get something in. And the reason I'm calling because of this.
Do you want to take it off or anything?
Yeah, I do. I just want to see
it. So did you get all that? Again, some 70 hours. And Smollett said he kept the rope around his neck so he could show police. And they're like, do you want to take it off? So the latest thing is a judge in Chicago has ruled that a new independent counsel, a new independent special prosecutor, I should say, will be reviewing the whole thing. And we're reviewing this entire case, and that Jussie Smollett could be charged all over again. So, to be continued. Following up, some updates on the Border Patrol, or the border crisis. The acting commissioner for the Customs and Border Patrol Agency, John Sanders, is resigning. We'll talk more about that and the Democratic debates coming up later this week when we come right back. Yourself. Welcome back to America Trends. Some updates on our border crisis. Some would at least call it a catastrophe, I'm sure. News today that the acting commissioner for Customs and Border Patrol or Protection Agency, John Sanders, is resigning, and he's going to be taking off July 5th. Another little bullet point. President Trump is, again, threatening to veto a potential $4.5 billion House bill that would provide emergency funding for the border, but he doesn't like it because it would put some restrictions on the White House's immigration crackdown, and he has some ideas that he just wants to, you know, get situated to try to keep us safe. Also, the ICE raids we've been hearing about, that he said he would just be sending people out to do raids. They're on hold for a couple weeks in hopes the Democrats will provide funding for border protection. There is talk that some of the issues, some of the ICE raids, the whole story was leaked by someone in the administration. And then Vice President Mike Pence noting that Mexico, again, has kept its promise and is now sending 15,000 troops to the border, our southern border, their northern border, of course, to help with the crisis amid growing pressure from President Trump and the threat of sanctions. And him noting, as many people are, they are doing more to help our border crisis than the Democrats are in the United States of America. And one more thing, get ready for Wednesday and Thursday nights. This is the week the Democratic presidential hopefuls for 2020 will face off in two nights of televised debates, because there are so many of them. It's happening in Miami, huge field of contenders. So they are broken up into two groups. According to NBC News, with 20 candidates qualifying for the primary debates in total, the Democratic National Committee divided it into 2 days, 10 and 10. And they won't have an opening statement. They'll have 60 seconds to answer questions and 30 seconds for a follow-up. They will get to make closing remarks. Two hours of debating each night, split into five segments. And host Savannah Guthrie, Lester Holt, Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, and Jose Diaz-Balart will be moderating. All be very interesting. One of the most interesting things about the debates from this week, again, pay attention, Wednesday and Thursday nights, the two different groups. President Trump says he will be live tweeting during the debate, so maybe he'll be the person to make them oh so very interesting, so we will look for that. Chatting about these and other political headlines of the day is Amanda Head. She is the host of the program called America's Voice Live, and we are so glad to have her back on America Trends. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's so good to see you. So, first of all, tell us where we can find your program so we can tune in or listen whenever we want.
Sure. So it's on a network called America's Voice News. You can download it on your phone. It's on Android, Apple, Roku, you know, Apple TV, any of these devices. You can download it. You just create a login. It's free. And at the top of the app, you'll see live programming. My show airs 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, 10 to noon Pacific. And then underneath that, we've got clips of interviews with people, some of my favorites, Sidney Powell, Matt Schlapp. I mean, we have wonderful, wonderful people on and great and engaging interviews. So it's America's Voice News.
We will grab that and look for you, because you've been following all this for a long time. And if I remember correctly, you were an opera major. That was going to be your career. And you turned to politics because you wanted to be a young voice for our nation. I think that's great. We'll go into your bio a little more later, hopefully. But do you want to start out with the Democrats? I know that they're talking about, and Barack Obama said this a few weeks ago, a circular firing squad. They're worried. The word is they are all very worried, the Democrats, that the debates will turn into some horror show that will make them all look bad, and it will decimate their chances of beating Trump in 2020.
Well, this is the nature of the political primary machine. It happens on the left and the right. Yeah. People get pushed to the right. On the Republican side, people get pushed to the left. The interesting thing about this time around, and I've heard a lot of Democrats trying to push the narrative, saying the opposite of President Obama, which is, you know, these Democrats, these 23, whoever emerges to the top, they're going to be battle-hardened and ready to compete and debate with Trump. But the thing is that you're not battle-hardened against the same opponent when you go up against President Trump in the general election. The types of debates that these 20, however many candidates, what is it up to now, 24, 23?
I know, right?
The types of debates that you prepare for, and you know how it is, when you are preparing to debate with someone, you are tailoring your arguments. These people, their argument against each other, they're all going in the same direction. They've all got the same progressive ideas. They are just trying to sell the idea that their way of doing it is better, which is a completely different beast of an argument as compared to what they are going to face going up against President Trump in the general election. So I would proffer that it is not going to make them battle hardened. I think it's going to distract them from the true debate preparation that they need to do to go up against a president who has record unemployment across the board, economic prosperity, safety, all of these wonderful things that President Trump is doing. And they're going to have to prepare for that, not trying to figure out who can out free stuff the other Democrat.
Because it really is. It's, you know, just the who can give away the most free stuff and tax the rich and, you know, be the most socialist person on the agenda there. And, you know, you just have to wonder, is the constituency really buying into that far, far left ideology that is getting to be so, I mean, when President Trump had to say, we will never be a socialist nation, it makes you say, it's amazing any president would even have to say that. This is the United States of America.
Yeah, and you know, I think if you're educated, I understand that there is this far left fringe element of the left who is really open to the idea of free stuff for whatever reason. They weren't raised on the idea of hard work and personal responsibility or whatever the reason may be. But there is an educated part of the left who is looking at all of these policies, the Green New Deal, Medicare for all, or as Elizabeth Warren proposed last week, child care. I mean, like the government is supposed to be paying for child care. And the common thread among a lot of these is that it's paid for by a wealth tax. It's a tax on Wall Street. Well, what people fail to realize, fortunately, a lot of people do realize this, but a lot of folks on the far left don't realize, is that Wall Street, it's not just these faceless, nameless, evil billionaires. Mm-hmm. It is comprised of people like you and I who are paying into an IRA, who trade small and international stocks on a daily basis. It is not made up of ultra, you know, billionaires. It is made up of normal people. And so when you start to tax people like that, who are doing, you know, I trade on the stock market. I am by no means an expert. I don't trade in large dollar amounts. But those are the types of things where there are going to be transfer fees and exchange fees. And, you know, for little old middle America, not middle America geographically, but you know, fiscally, I guess, that's simply not going to translate, I think, to the left. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a...
Hey, Amanda, let's hold that conversation till after the break. I'd like to keep you over and talk about the free tuition they're trying to give away. I mean, I paid off my tuition and they'll probably just raise prices, you know, if they tried to do it again. So let's talk to Amanda Head after the break, right back after this, America Turns. It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you. Welcome back to America Trends. We have our political analyst Amanda Head with us this hour. She is the host of America's Voice Live, and she keeps track of a lot of things. There it is, America's Voice Live, and looks like it has live streaming a lot of U.S. political breaking news. And some of the things from today, Iran speaking out, President Trump tweeting back that they should be very careful. We have Border Patrol, we have the border crisis, some updates on that. But also, everyone's very excited and verklempt about the Democratic debates that are happening this week, Wednesday and Thursday nights. The pack of, I think, 10 and 10 is only 10 and 10 got chosen. So 20 out of maybe, what is it, Amanda, a field of 23 or 24 at this point? Who can keep count, right?
Yeah. And I was just sitting here writing down some ideas for a drinking game for the Democrat debates every time they mention.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Every time they say it's time for, which, by the way, in liberal speak, when a liberal says it's time for, what that means is we need you to care about. So I feel like these Democrat debates, I mean, everybody's going to be cannibalizing each other. Look at all those faces.
Oh, man.
And it's going to be interesting to watch. I'm excited.
It will be. And the funny thing is, some of this can be so boring. And then you just, the hyperbole of it all, Kamala Harris, I heard her a soundbite she today being aired saying President Trump says he wants to make America great again. What's that mean? Taking us back to, and then she started making, you know, some racist comments as if he's trying to go that direction. It's just absurd and unnecessary. And but however, President Trump did say that he will be live tweeting, so it could be very fun. If you can watch live tweets, do that, and do Amanda's drinking game, could be a lot of fun. Cheryl Atkinson, the journalist, wrote, on Twitter today who thinks the debates just won't be the same without Donna Brazile working behind the scenes. She now commentates on Vox News. And but before she was getting some of the questions ahead of time from CNN and feeding them to Hillary. Was that the deal?
Yes, it actually happened on two occasions. There was the one time that went famous, but it actually happened twice. So I don't know who's going to fill Donna Brazile's shoes as the leaker in chief of the DNC.
Do you ever see her on Fox News? I sometimes think the hosts that have to chat with her are in pain because she sometimes sings songs and just tries to be real flip and fun with them, and they're just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it always reminds me, and I think she must have been the one advising Hillary Clinton when Hillary Clinton went on whose show was it when she made the hot sauce comment?
Right, I was going to say the hot sauce, and they try to be so colloquial when they go to certain areas, and it's just like,
Right, yeah, Charlemagne the God, I think that was the show.
So, and then we also have Barack Obama not really endorsing former Vice President Biden. And, you know, that really is notable. People can joke about it all they want, but that's really something.
Yeah, you know, I think Obama has moved on from the White House and mostly politics. But, I think that he is hesitant to endorse Joe Biden for numerous reasons. We know that Joe Biden already has had some issues with these creepy Joe moments. But Joe initially was the moderate candidate, and then he started pivoting on the Hyde Amendment, and now he's starting to pander to these far left folks, which what I was saying before we were heading into break, I am almost 99% positive of the fact that the majority of America, like if you've got the center line, you've got the far left and the far right, I am convinced that most of America is right here. Yeah. So as you were mentioning, you know, education, higher education, college tuition for all, these are the types of things that you find that a lot of Democrats don't agree with. For instance, a friend of mine who is a bleeding heart liberal, but she does not agree with, you know, paid college.
Really?
When you pay for something, there is an inherent value. And you look at the way that kids perform in public schools when their parents aren't paying for a private or a Christian school or Montessori or whatever. A lot of times students just don't care. And so I'm sorry, but I don't want my tax dollars going for your C average Fanny to go to college. Mm-hmm. But guess what? There is such a thing as free college. It's called scholarships, mm-hmm. but you have to work for it, which I guess is, you know, the crack in the fly in the ointment, because working hard for anything these days just doesn't seem like something that's that appealing, especially when you're talking about the demographic of people who are going to be going into college at some point in the near future.
Well, we have people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders saying, you know, we're just going to give you everything free. Why bother? It really does. I mean, if you had so many tens of thousands of dollars in tuition and you hear free, that does sound exciting. But you've really got to use that college education and do the math about it. Someone's paying for it. And you have to realize, once again, if there's so much free money going to the college to pay for your tuition, they're going to raise it in some way or form. It's just going to get crazier and crazier, just like insurance. We need the government to do less, not more for us, and people need to get a grip on that.
Absolutely. And you know, that I don't know if our generations are getting increasingly lazier. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I just think that the people who really want the free stuff are the empty barrels who make the most noise. Because, for instance, people like my friend Angela Stanton King, who started the American King Foundation, she is Alveda King's goddaughter. Oh. Alveda King, who is MLK's niece, right. She went to prison for a nonviolent crime. When she was released, she was given the chance to be on welfare for an extended amount of time and to receive all of these government programs and social benefits. And she said, no, I'm going to utilize this until I know that I'm able to get off my feet. And I can't remember exactly how long she said she did that for, but it was a very, very expedient amount of time. And then she made her way in this world. And this is what the Trump administration is trying to do with prison reform, by the way, not to go off on a rabbit trail. But getting back around to what I was initially saying, I don't know if Americans want more free stuff. Vice President Pence just this morning was speaking at a Latinos for Trump rally. And this is something that's been surging in our country for the last year or so. And a lot of the Latino population, especially there in Miami, is a Cuban population. And they know what it's like to be in a country where free stuff is given for you. By the way, free stuff is never free. There are always chains attached. Mm-hmm. And I have always been convinced that the left giving away this free stuff is another way of locking them in and enslaving them. And it may not be a matter of shackles and chains, but they are enslaved by thought and by their vote.
I love it when anyone who is trying to be handed free stuff, because the government did do that. I think it was under the Obama administration. They were going into places like Appalachia saying, why don't you sign up for food stamps? Why don't you sign up for welfare? But President Trump, under his administration, 4 million people have gotten off food stamps. So to have someone say, I really want to try to do this for myself, it's remarkable because it's become so normalized to use the government. And so that's really spectacular, just the story of even one person. About a minute, you want to sound off on any of the border crisis and anything that's been going on there?
Yeah, you know, the national joke right now is that tariffs work and Democrats don't. Just 2 weeks ago, Mexico sent 7,000 troops to their own southern border to try to thwart the influx of Central American illegal immigrants into their own country, who, of course, by proxy, were coming into our country. And now it was announced this morning or late last night that they are sending 15,000 National Guard troops to our southern border to try to alleviate the problem. And Democrats went nuts when President Trump, he said he was going to impose these tariffs. But, oh my gosh, tariffs work. That's why they're a thing.
And you just look at that slew of Democrats going up and say, who else would take a stand against Mexico, China, Iran, all these things? Yep. So, you know, more power to whoever the next commander in chief is. But, you know, some of us think we know who it might be. Amanda, give us your website again, then come back soon. I want to hear more about your backstory and refresh our viewers with everything you've done. But your website for now.
Of course. Thank you. It's thehollywoodconservative.us because I love the U.S.
We heart you, U.S. Well, we heart you, Amanda Head, and we will see you next time on America Trends. Thank you so much. We spent the daylight trying to make things right between us. There are a few things that can really rip a parent's heart out than having an issue with your child, a missing child we've talked about so many times before here on America Trends. Or what if it was actually a governmental agency ripping your child from the home, from your arms, saying it was for the best and that you were a problem parent? Unimaginable, but these agencies do exist for a reason. However, there are a lot of entities out there right now, including some investigative journalists and some nonprofit groups put together just for this purpose, to try to protect parents from agencies that they say are very, very corrupt. We are glad to welcome a freelance investigative journalist named Michael Volpe, who's been looking into this for years. You can find him on Twitter at Mike Volpe. And he says that these agencies who are supposed to protect our children are doing the very opposite. At issue, a lack of credentials of people in the foster care system and some of the judicial system, people in the judicial system that permit this corruption. Michael, I almost hesitate to say too much about this because I know there have to be wonderful people working to protect our kids in these agencies. However, I have never seen more responses to our Twitter and social media posts than I have with this issue. We interviewed Megan Fox, another journalist, a few weeks back, who I'm sure you know. And this may be far more rampant than people realize at all. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me. And actually, I'm really sick of people saying there are good people at that agency. There are, probably, but there's way too many bad people. That's number one. Number two, almost none of them are trained. They're all overworked. So even if their intentions are good, the system is completely broken. So, this whole idea that there are good people working there, maybe, possibly, but there's far too many bad people. And beyond that, the good people are not in a proper and appropriate bureaucracy to thrive.
So this is interesting because you've been looking into it. We've seen a number of times that we do have so much weighing on our system where people who are engaged and employed by the government don't have enough help, don't have enough hours in the day for the weight put on them. But you say the system is broken, and there are far more nefarious things that we can even imagine. So can you just set it up for us and let us know, because this is your life's work now, to investigate this. And I know you have a couple of very specific examples that'll probably break our hearts.
Right. So the most nefarious thing is that CPS, Child Protective Services, and they have other names, but they are incentivized to not only take that child, but to keep that child in foster care and to even adopt that child out, incentivized through a series of federal funding streams. Started in the 1970s with something called CAPTA, which is the Child Abuse Protection and Treatment Act, and then followed up in the 90s with two sections of Social Security Title IV, B and E, and more specifically, the Adoption and Safe Families Act. And essentially what these do is they give incentives for CPS to take the kids, keep them in foster care, and give them even more incentives if they're then adopted out. There's a woman named Nancy Schaefer, who was a former Georgia State Senator. Nothing that I'm saying, I got on my own. She said this in 08, the corrupt business of CPS, and she called that dynamic where they go from foster care to adopted out double dipping, meaning they get money on both ends. But it's happening because there are federal funds incentivizing it.
How did this all happen? And by the way, we still need to get to the horrors of human trafficking and child human trafficking, don't we, Michael?
We do. And the way that the kids are trafficked through CPS is they're taken from perfectly good parents and moved into foster care and adoption. That's how they're trafficked. There's a, hopefully we'll get to the family court. Family courts will traffic kids from the appropriate parent to the inappropriate. And all sorts of federal funds exist for that to happen as well, different, but all sorts of other federal funds exist that basically incentivize that sort of child trafficking.
You know, you just feel like where are the people who are lobbying for the people that you're reporting on, the people that the parents who need this? Because I know you have a couple examples of mothers who have been criminalized. They've been accused of things. One, which is called Munchausen's. And you have a couple cases you're talking about that are very specific and egregious and again, heartbreaking.
Right. So I've done a lot of these. The one that I'm most known for is the Ruckey case. It's a divorce, David Ruckey versus Sandra Guzzini Ruckey. And I've also recently done a lot of work on Melissa Deagle, who had her kids taken by its Department of Child Safety in Arizona. And she had her kids taken because she was accused of Munchausen, which is when you make up ailments in order to get attention at a hospital or other doctor. And the thing about Deagle is, not only did her kids have real ailments, they were complex, significant, everything from ADHD to their esophagus or something else. I mean, and it's Phoenix Children's Hospital which were doing these diagnoses. So in order, obviously she's not making up illnesses if the hospital is saying the kids are ill. And yet not only did they still take the kids, but she's currently being charged with child abuse for purported surgeries that apparently she made the doctors do, because she's being charged with basically forcing unnecessary surgeries.
Now, Michael, just to be fair, what makes you think that you know that she didn't do this? Because these people are supposed to be trained, maybe not, but what makes you think that you that this isn't right and that she doesn't have Munchausen's and the kids have a real thing and that she should be defended?
Okay, so there's a bunch of different things, but I'll, as quickly as possible. There's a lawyer named Sean McMillan who's done a lot of work on specifically this bogus diagnosis of Munchausen. And the way it works, the real one, there is no test for Munchausen. You eliminate all other possibilities. The hospital is the one saying that she's got like some tube problem, constant exhaustion, ADHD, something with her something here, something there. I don't have it in front of me, but they're the ones who came up with this diagnosis, not her, the hospital. So if it's the elimination of other possibilities and the hospital is saying the kids having all these problems, it can't be Munchausen.
Huh. I'll be darned. And so both the women you're speaking of, they've also, have they been charged, both of them?
Criminally. So in the Sandra Guzzini-Rucki case, that's strictly a divorce. CPS was involved, but just at the margins. Her ex-husband is very abusive. And there's a Child Protective Services report where his son said he stuck a gun to his head when he was 8 years old. His daughter, in another police report, said he ran after her. She had to barricade herself in her house on her birthday, and her birthday was canceled. There's an audio recording where they talk about another girl being thrown into a refrigerator. He's got a bar fight, road rage incident, incidents of stalking, you name it. The court, what they did was they covered all of that up, and they were forcing all of the kids to live. Initially, they weren't even going to live with the dad. They were going to live with his sister and transition to live with the dad. And the two oldest girls ran. The mother hid them. And when they were found, the mother was charged with a whole bunch of, like, really difficult to explain crimes, but related to the fact that he had custody. And by hiding them, she violated his custody.
Okay, Mike, I'm so sorry. We have a hard, we've got to have you back on. Pay attention. We're going to have you maybe Friday or the next, the following week to follow up. There's so much more to this. It's at Mike Volpe on Twitter. Check it out. Here with America Trends, I want to say thanks again to Michael Volpe, freelance investigative journalist. You can find him at Mike Volpe on Twitter, and also his latest article on the Daily Caller, and he's got a few on there. He pays attention to parents who need help and have no one else to go to because they've had issues with the foster care system. Now, there is so much that goes into it, so complex. We're actually going to go ahead and have Michael back on Thursday. So we'll see you then with a little bit more 2 days from now to get a little bit more into this because we just didn't have enough time. For now, though, we're glad to have another guest that we're so appreciative of, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. We're talking a little bit about, well, narcissists and sociopaths. Did you hear the story about O.J. Simpson? Now on Twitter, and almost, I think, 25 years to the day of when the murders happened that he was accused of and acquitted of Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend. Dr. Frieda, thank you for coming on. I guess the issue is this really the best outlet for someone with impulse control? Ron Goldman, I should say, the name of the other victim.
Yes.
Everyone has a Twitter feed. There were some fake OJ accounts out there, I guess, and OJ already has gotten into a fight with one of them already, and he says that he had some scores to settle. Was that the verbiage he used?
Yes, you know, he went ahead and he said something even a little bit stronger than that. I'm going to cut his ass off. So that's something that could really get him in trouble with the parole officers.
Wait, who was he saying
well.
That about? And you said that might be a parole violation
this person,
there.
That's right, exactly. That this person was harassing him, and he was signing up on Twitter, OJ, and talking about Father's Day and talking about the events of our times and wanting to contribute. And someone who knows about his past, I mean, we all know about his past, was making fun of him, and then he threatened him. So the real reality here is that the commentaries that he is making could really end up being commentaries about himself. So he really better be careful with the parole officers because he already made headlines, as we all know, that he was acquitted for having, some people or a lot of people felt that he's the one that really killed his wife and her friend that came to bring back his her glasses for him. So a lot is going on here, and he is somebody who really does have narcissistic and sociopathic qualities. He's very charismatic. He's good looking, but he does have a darker side to him. As a child, he had rickets. He was sickly. He grew up in poverty. But as time went on, he joined a gang. And within that gang, everyone got in trouble, and he ended up in jail as well. But his athletic ability really got him to a place where he won a lot of awards, became very powerful, ended up marrying Nicole when he met her at 17 and left his wife, a mansion, money, power, everybody running after him. And then he has this sociopathic quality about him, which is very possessive, very demanding. And these people often, when they have partners, they don't want their partners to have friends or to be with their family. And then they are verbally abusive and times physically abusive. That mixed with his narcissistic qualities, which means that he is self-centered and he's the one that's right and everyone else is wrong, was some dynamic combination for this person to have been involved in this rage and jealousy when he saw his wife with another man.
Yeah, so it's we can get back to narcissists, sociopaths, abusers, and bullies, because a lot of people can identify with that, whether they've been in a relationship, something at work, friendships, anything like that. But the problem with Twitter, the same freedom that tweeters have posting, they believe what they believe. We all love to have this outlet, but anyone can do it. And, I mean, there's nothing really Twitter can do. I mean, how far does OJ have to go in threatening someone before they would ban his account? We see Twitter banning people sometimes. It seems like it's one side of the political spectrum rather than the other, but sometimes anything abusive or threatening as well. And you just wonder if it would come to that. And then he also has, last check, almost a million, maybe over now, a million followers. So, I mean, again, and that's almost just a commentary on, you know, what Americans sort of pay attention to. Why wouldn't you just ignore that and not follow him? And I've seen people on TV saying, don't follow him. If you have, unfollow him. Don't give him the attention. Disconnect from it.
Well, you know, fame is very addictive, and people love to see celebrities. The sad truth is that they often have their back as well. So when you're addicted to fame, it's hard to let go. So OJ has really tried to get the public to like him again. And the public is very curious about what he has to say. So you're right, you know, a million followers already so quickly is saying something to us about what we think of being involved with going ahead and looking at these people that we're always involved with in the media from day to day. But then, you know, we're looking at domestic violence as well. And hopefully this can be a message to other people that domestic violence is something that we need to hear about and talk about and fix and treat. So the very thing that he's trying to do to talk about the events, he has become the main event. And hopefully it'll help us in a different way, not about his Twitters, but more about who he is and what needs to be done. As you said, this is something that society has difficulty with in general.
Dr. Frieda can be found at drfrieda.com. Doctor, about 30 more seconds, but do you want to wrap up anything more about OJ, or would you like to say to people, because there can be some really subtle signs, but that are very, very pointed and dangerous if you are in a relationship of any kind with a sociopath or narcissist or any type of abuser, what kind of caution would you like to throw at maybe the viewers?
That's a very important question. The reality is, be careful. When you think someone is complimenting you, they could actually be possessive and controlling you. So realize that everyone needs their space. Everyone can disagree with the other person. And if you feel that that person has violent tendencies or even anger management problems, that could lead to emotional and then physical abuse. So one thing does lead to another, and don't look away, because when you get involved with someone, it is often difficult to leave that person, very similar to what happened with Nicole. I'm not saying it's going to go to that extent, but being possessive can really be a dangerous place.
Right, have your antenna up. Dr. Frieda, out of time, so sorry, but can't thank you enough. Thanks so much.
Sibling rivalry. Here comes the mother.
Thank you for being with us here on America Trends. Want to remind you, you can find us 24/7 on our website, U2America.com, also YTAClub.com, and please check us out on social media. We'd love to hang out with you on Facebook, Twitter, and beyond. We've got the U2 account, the America Trends account, and then Miami Fuller account. Let's all chat. And then our other programming on U2 America is fun to look at, and then on Biz Talk Radio as well. Thank you to our guests. We had Amanda Head. She is the host of America's Voice Live, and she had some of the political headlines of the day. She's always just so great. We also had Mike Volpe. He's going to be back 2 days from now to talk more about problems with the foster care system, stuff that you just would not believe. And then we also had Dr. Frieda talking about O.J. Simpson's new Twitter account and abusers, sociopaths, and narcissists, all those fun things, right? We really appreciate her. Finally tonight, did you hear about this big, just some record-breaking things with Avengers Endgame? Have you seen it yet? Avatar does still reign supreme as the highest-grossing movie of all time with $2.78 billion. However, that status does include its re-release receipts worth $33 million. But this past Sunday, Endgame topped $2.75 billion, beating Avatar's original receipts. So Avengers, there it is. And we bring that because the next thing in the series, Spider-Man Far From Home, opens a week from today. And we want to give you a look and a listen as we head on out and say goodbye for now.
The Spider-Man Far From Home trailer is about to play, but if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, stop watching because there's some serious spoilers about to come up. But if you have seen Avengers Endgame, enjoy the trailer.
Everywhere I go, I see his face. I just really miss him.
Yeah, I miss him too. I don't think Tony would have done what he did if he didn't know that you were going to be here after he was gone.
You gonna be the next Iron Man now?
Well, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy doing your jobs.
What?
I'm kidding. Look, keep up the good work. Because I am going on vacation.
Heads up, Nick Fury's calling you.
I don't really want to talk to Nick
Fury. Answer the phone.
Why?
Because if you don't talk to him, then I have to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him. You sent Nick Fury to voicemail?
I gotta go.
You do not ghost Nick Fury.
What up, dorks?
What's up? We're just talking about the trip.
I'm here in St. Marco Polo.
Oh, I think MJ really likes me.
That reminds me of when I first fell in love.
You're a very difficult person to contact,
Spider-Man.
This is Mr. Beck.
We could have used someone like you on my world.
Your world?
Beck is from Earth, just not ours.
A snap to our hole in our dimension.
You're saying there's a multiverse?
We have a job to do, and you're coming with us.
There's got to be someone else you can use. What about Thor?
Off-world.
Captain Marvel.
Unavailable.
Look, I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Bitch, please, you've been to space.
What do you want, Peter?
I want to go back on my trip with the girl who I really like and tell her how I feel. MJ,
I
am Spider-Man.
No, of course I'm not.
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
You're right, you may not be ready, but this is my responsibility.
Saving the world requires sacrifice. Sometimes people die.
Oh my God.
I just always feel like I'm putting my friends in danger. The world needs the next Iron Man.
Are you going to step up or not?
I gotta get you guys out of here. Get on the jet.
Who are you?
I work with Spider-Man.
You work for Spider-Man?
I work with Spider-Man, not for Spider-Man. New plan.